Vi invito infine, cari amici, ad accompagnare con la vostra preghiera il viaggio pastorale al Cipro.
At the end of Wednesday's audience, Pope Benedict asked for prayers to accompany him on his pastoral visit to Cyprus so that it will bear a wealth of spiritual fruit for what he called the dear Christian communities of the Middle East. The Holy Father is due to leave Friday for the 3-day visit. Charles Collins will be following the Pope's activities in Cyprus for Vatican Radio. He sat down with me to tell us more about the trip.
The main focus of the trip is the presentation of the Instrumentum Laboris of the Middle East Synod, which will be happening in Rome in October. This is the working document. It's what the Synod Fathers will be looking at and having an idea of what they will be discussing in October. However, the trip itself is going to have different aspects. First and foremost, we remember just 2 years ago we were celebrating the year of St. Paul, and Pope Benedict is still living out that year in many ways. He went to Malta earlier this year, and now at Cyprus he's following in the footsteps of St. Paul. And if you look at his weekly general audiences from a couple of years ago, St. Paul is a very important figure in Pope Benedict's own spirituality and his own theology. So this Pauline aspect of the trip cannot be ignored.
Can you just refresh our memory as to what is St. Paul's relationship with Cyprus?
Well, Cyprus is one of the areas that St. Paul visited. Just like in Malta, he was shipwrecked. He wasn't shipwrecked on Cyprus, of course, but he did go to Cyprus. He's considered the founder of the church in Cyprus. And Pope Benedict's visit there is very significant because Cyprus is one of the few countries that Pope John Paul II never visited. So this will be the first visit by a pope to Cyprus in the modern era. And so this is something that hasn't been done since Pope John Paul II visited Azerbaijan. Was the last time a new country was visited by a pope. But the Pauline aspect of it is just one of these things that Pope Benedict has focused on. I'm sure he'll make mention of it, but it's returning the church in many ways, as he says, to the roots of Christianity, and St. Paul being so important in that aspect.
And St. Paul, of course, was also very important for the Orthodox, the Eastern Orthodox churches. And I know that one of the focuses of this particular trip will also be the ecumenical aspect, the relations between the various churches.
A very strong part of this trip is going to be about ecumenism, especially Catholic Orthodox ecumenism. This is the first Orthodox majority country the Holy Father will be visiting. The Catholic population in Cyprus is quite small, between 7 and 10,000, although there are several thousand immigrants right now in Cyprus, some of them illegal from Catholic countries, so that figure is a little bit larger if you add in these immigrants. Mm-hmm. So the Catholics on the island might be as much as 25,000, but because of some of these immigrants don't have papers, no one's quite sure what the numbers are like. But the country itself has about 800,000 people. The vast majority of them within the southern part of the island are Orthodox. And the Holy Father will be holding an ecumenical celebration the first day he arrives. He will then the next day be meeting with the Orthodox Archbishop. This is important also to remember that this is not just an invitation from the government of Cyprus. It's also an invitation from the Orthodox Church in Cyprus. So the ecumenical part of this journey is also one of hospitality on the Orthodox Church's part. And if we see recent meetings have been happening here in Rome with Orthodox Church leaders, recent statements that have been made by various officials, especially with the Russian Orthodox Church, this is a sign that the relationship between the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church is probably at its best point in decades, if not centuries. And this trip is going to be seen as moving that relationship forward. And it is an interesting thing because the people of Cyprus, because they are majority Orthodox. It's just been recently that they've been really focusing that the Pope is coming. It will be interesting to see how they react, because, of course, we talk about these meetings, we talk about these messages from bishops and stuff like that. This will be our first experience of seeing how an Orthodox population, the common people, will react to the visit of Pope Benedict to their country.
Mm-hmm. Have you been tracking at all any of the media to see how they've been looking at this this visit?
Well, this is a different thing in Cyprus. It's not an aspect of the trip itself, but in Cyprus, anything that has international focus, their most pressing concern is the situation on Cyprus of being divided, being the northern part of the island being occupied by Turkey. Most of the media is about this aspect, is will the Pope be talking about the division of the island? Will there be a mention of how this will affect relations between Christians and Muslims? But it's not part of the official agenda of the trip. It will, of course, be mentioned because the Holy Father's staying at the Papal Nunciature's residence, which is actually the monastery of the Franciscan Custody of the Holy Land, and it's within the UN-occupied border zone of the capital, Nicosia, so in the Green Line. So, of course, it won't be ignored. He's going to be literally in the middle of this frozen conflict because of where he is staying. But is the focus of the trip. Mm-hmm. In the Cypriot press, this is mostly what they're wondering about, is how this will affect the ongoing negotiations between the southern internationally recognized Republic of Cyprus and the de facto northern Cyprus state, which is actually occupied, militarily occupied by Turkey. The northern Cyprus actually just recently had elections. The new de facto president of northern Cyprus is considered more of a hardliner, and people are wondering whether or not the ongoing negotiations to bring a settlement to the Cyprus issue will be affected by this. And this is all have happened this year. And so, of course, the people of Cyprus are wondering how the Pope's visit will affect that.
Mm-hmm. On both sides, obviously.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, the Pope is not scheduled to go to the Turkish side. There are no meetings scheduled with the with Muslim representatives. Again, he was invited by the Orthodox Church. He's visiting the internationally recognized Republic of Cyprus.
And, of course, he's already visited Turkey on an official visit a few years ago.
Yes, he did already visit Turkey. And, again, there are so many... It's a three-day trip. There's so much going on that no one wants to cause... And it's an issue that is being negotiated by the people of Cyprus right now. The UN is, of course, heavily involved. And there's no reason to create an issue. It's not a part of the official reason for the trip. The Pope is also taking time to meet the very small Catholic population there, most of which is Maronite, which is the
Middle Eastern.
A Middle Eastern church. Mm-hmm. Cyprus is, in church speak, part of the Holy Land. It falls under the jurisdiction of the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, the custody of the Holy Land. It's in their territory, too. Its only bishop, Catholic bishop, is a Maronite bishop. Historically, it's played an important role as a doorway to the Middle East. Of course, many of the Crusader Knights were established there on Cyprus. But Cyprus is also in the European Union. It's an EU country. It uses the euro. It is, of course, even if you include the north, predominantly an Orthodox country with a small, significant Turkish minority. It's interesting in that aspect that it's part of the Middle East, but also not part of the Middle East. And the people on Cyprus like to think themselves more as the doorway to the Middle East than part of the Middle East. This relationship with Cyprus and the Middle East will come to a head on Sunday when the mass introducing the Instrumentum Laboris is celebrated, and it will include all of the bishops from the region. And in this regard, the Middle East Synod is going to include basically Egypt is as far west as it goes, Iran will be as far east as it goes, and pretty much everything between that will be covered, and all the Catholic bishops from those areas will be coming to visit. And of course, they're coming to a Christian majority country, and all of them are in Muslim majority countries. So it's going to be, Cyprus is in many ways the odd man out in the Middle East Synod, but it is covered in the territory for the Synod.
Mm-hmm. And you say it was a doorway to the Middle East. It's also open arms, I think, for many of the Christians in the Middle East and Muslims who have fled conflict in their countries. I'm thinking specifically of Lebanon. And that's why you see so many Maronites from Lebanon living in Cyprus.
Well, yes, well, of course, it's very close to Cyprus as one Cypriot, a British expat who's been in Cyprus for many years, said jokingly to me, we always say we're just a Scud missile away. It sounds horrible, but but that's in many ways what they do. They don't consider themselves in the Middle East, but they're affected by everything that happens in the Middle East. Whenever you hear about, for example, people trying to go to Gaza to put in supplies, they always leave from Cyprus. Whenever you hear about refugees, like during the couple of years ago when there was violence in Lebanon, that's where you fled to, was Cyprus.
My husband was actually on one of those Italian naval ships that evacuated people from Beirut. So, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And because of its proximity to especially the Eastern Mediterranean countries, the Cyprus is always affected. Whenever violence flares up, whenever there's any kind of initiative, whenever there's any trade routes or any things like that, Cyprus is always in the middle of it. So it's a doorway to the Middle East, and it's affected by everything that is in the Middle East. And historically, in Catholic Church terms especially, it is part of the Holy Land, and part of that aspect, going back to what I said earlier, is because St. Paul founded the church there, is one of the reasons it has this Holy Land aspect to it. But history has gone on, of course, with the Greeks there, the Turks there. It's been part of the Ottoman Empire. It's been part of the British Empire. It's been it only achieved its independence in the 1960s, and then it suffered an invasion by Turkey in the 1970s. So they say is history does have a way of happening in Cyprus, and that's something that is interesting, because the people of Cyprus, when you talk about the reasons for it, the main reason of the Middle East Synod is probably the least important for the people who are actually there in Cyprus.
And a warm thanks there to Charles Collins. We'll be hearing more from him from Cyprus over the weekend. So do tune in to Vatican Radio for the latest updates on the Holy Father's activities there.